Melissa in the Morning talks with career strategist and workplace expert Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job. Now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
The five mistakes professionals make at work. I'm very intrigued, and I want to know if I'm guilty of any of these. Julie Bauke is back, our career strategist and, of course, host of Julie on the Job. And this is, a new series that you're launching, Julie? Where did this this topic come from?
It's something I put together of the five things, and then what they are, and then what you should be doing instead. And so I put it together because I wanted to offer our audience something that they can utilize, learn from, etc. So I'm going to talk also about how do you get a copy of this that goes into more detail.
Love that.
But of course, you're not making any of those mistakes. Are you kidding?
I mean, well, actually, no, I'm not. Because I could be. You know what I learned yesterday? I have to be honest, Julie. I was thinking about you yesterday. I had one of our employment attorneys on the show, and he said to me, do you know it is illegal in the state of Connecticut for a boss to tell you, okay, we're going to give you a bump in pay, or we're going to give you a bonus, and we don't want you to tell anybody else because we can only afford X amount. That is illegal. That is actually a law on the books from 2015. You cannot tell your employee that they cannot share anything about their wages with other people in the workplace. That's actually illegal. But I didn't know that. I did not know that.
No.
So, and that's what I mean. Like, I could be doing something wrong, and who knows? That's why I love learning on this show. It's literally why I love doing this show. I get to learn something.
I am now curious as to why. What's the why behind that? And it's what's interesting about that is the younger generations are extremely transparent about everything,
yes,
including their salary. And I remember back, oh my gosh, so many years ago, I discussed salary with another new hire who had just started the same time I did, and she was making, $500 a year more than I was.
Wow.
And for some reason, I thought it would be a good idea to go talk to my boss about that, and it was just shocking. And I was told, we don't discuss salary with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, most of us don't. But this younger generation is very transparent, which is why they love to, they will say at like 70-some percent or 80-some percent, I mean, a huge number of them have said, if a posting doesn't have a salary range on it, we're not going to bother applying.
Mm.
And there's a lot of call for companies to be very transparent and to be required to put some sort of range on there, which I honestly don't understand why they wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know why either.
Playing a game.
I agree. I mean, this story stemmed from actually a lawsuit that was filed this month in Connecticut. There was a man who was fired because he did share that he was getting a bump in pay with one of his colleagues. His colleague was like, wait a minute, why aren't I getting a bump in pay? Went to his supervisor about it, and they went back to the guy and said, listen, we told you explicitly you cannot talk to your other colleagues about it, and he is filing a lawsuit because he was he's saying fired for it, but it's against Connecticut law. Actually, to tell your employees that they can't talk about it. So I agree. I mean, I think there's a lot in there where, you know, sometimes people don't even know the laws on the books. I mean, this very well could be employers who don't even realize that they're doing something illegal. But other times it could be that you've got younger workers who are impressionable. They've never been in the workforce. So, hey, you know what? Not an intimidation factor, but hey, we'd appreciate if you could keep this to yourself, and they're just going to kind of go with the flow. But yeah, that's what I mean. So you never know. I could be doing something wrong.
You never know. Here's the five things. I'm going to give you like the five titles or the five. And then you can pick the one that you want to go deeper on.
Oh, I can't wait.
Number one, moving forward with no direction. Number two, keeping your head down and doing a good job. Number three, adopting the who, little old me attitude. Number four, failing the tell me about yourself challenge. And number five, not understanding that every conversation you have is a form of an interview. And these tips are typically focused on people who are trying to manage their career where they are. So this is not a job search. Although, even if you're in job search, these tips will help you when you get to your next job. So this is about how do I manage my career where I am. So which one do you want to talk about?
You're seriously going to make me pick?
Yeah.
Julie,
which one do you think you might be making up?
There's like four of them in there that I really want to talk about. I'm going to throw it back at you. You tell me which one you think is abused the most. Like, which one do you find people do wrong the most?
Okay. I'm going to say moving forward without direction.
Okay.
That's the first one. And let me tell you what that means. And what we do is, let's say you've been in a job search and you you land a job and you're like, whew, this job search is really hard. I mean, you were exhausted. And it takes a lot, a toll emotionally and otherwise. And so we tend to think, now that I have a job, I can just relax and do the job and good things will happen. And this is going to sound exhausting too, I get it, but every day that you are in your job, not only should you be doing your job, of course, but you should have an idea about what you're aiming for next. Having a specific direction in mind, it doesn't have to be as pointed as, I want to be, you know, the director of accounting. I want to be CEO. I want to rule the world. It doesn't have to be super specific, but when you start a new job, one of your jobs is to look around and figure out, get the lay of the land as you're learning your job and figure out what you're interested in next. And this doesn't have to be complicated. It can be as simple as, there's something I want to learn. There's an experience I want to have. There's a role that sounds interesting that I want to investigate. What we do, though, Melissa, is we default to, we throw our hands up and we default and say, well, I'm sure if I do a good job, then
something will result from it.
Something will happen. And yeah, something will happen. But the question is it something that you want? And so we have to train ourselves to be always thinking about, you know, after I learn my way around and meet the people and start learning my job, what is it that is appealing to be to me next?
So there are 5 mistakes that professionals make at work. Julie, I feel like this needs to be a multi-week series because we're only tackling one.
But I'm going to send you the link, the info to get all of it.
Okay.
So they have it for all time instead of just, and also by getting it, I'm going to make sure that they continue to get the good career tips and stuff I send out every month so they stay on track with their careers.
Okay, fair.
So I want people to be able to refer to this and say, you know, am I doing these things? And then each one I've got tips on what to do instead.
Mm-hmm. So one of the five is what you outlined before, which is that we take these jobs, but then we don't really look at what comes next. Like, what does our future look like? What are some goals? So how do we determine what those goals should be? Because maybe we don't even realize that that process looks like to think, what is your next step? Maybe you're just happy at work and you think that's fine. I don't know.
Yeah. And my most favorite question, and it's so simple, is, of course, you got to get the lay of the land. You got to get your arms around what your job is, all that stuff. Of course, you're still trying to figure out who to talk to about what. And that continues in my experience for about 4 to 6 months before, before we really feel like we know what we're doing. But part of that can also be, as you're learning what goes on in the organization, what the options are, what kind of culture you have, what's valued, et cetera. Put on your to-learn list my favorite question, which is, what do I want to do more of? What do I want to do less of? What would I like to learn? And then, what do I really care not to do ever again? Mm-hmm. And we all have those things. And in my mind, from what I've seen, it's the best way to get really clear by asking yourself those questions, because it really forces you to put things into categories. And more of, you might say, wow, that customer, what they do over there with some of that customer management looks really interesting, and it pulls on things I'm interested in. So what I'd like to do in the first 6 months is I'd like to meet with somebody over there and learn more about what they do. Now, this is not I want to learn more about what they do, and I'm going to tell them I want to come work there. What it is one of your responsibilities as a new employee is to figure out how your work intersects, overlaps with other departments. And so if you're in kind of a let's say, a data analytics role, and you've got, let's say there's a customer management group, well, you know, there is absolutely overlap and interest in what you do. And if you better understood what the customers are looking for, what they want, what their issues are, my guess is you could do a better job in the job you have now. And so being curious about what other departments do will help fill in the gap, and you know, versus just, you know, just focusing on your narrow world, because it kind of is your job to understand how things work. And through that process, I promise you, if you approach it with curiosity, you will get a better feel for the bigger picture, and then you will understand what, you know, how you, with your unique skill set, what you bring to your new employer, how you can contribute maybe in a way that at some point is it fits the interests that you have or are developing, versus just saying, all righty, I'm just gonna take this job, and then they'll tell me what I can do next.
Right.
I mean, you're assuming that your leader is so interested in your career development, and they should be, got it, but they're so concerned about getting the work done and maybe thinking about their own career that employers on the other side of the desk, when they fill a position, they're like, okay, whew, got that position filled.
It's so funny that you say that, Julie, because I've had that conversation with people at this current workplace and in almost every other station I've worked for. And one of the things that I've said is it's actually not a knock whatsoever to our bosses. I happen to love everyone in my management, and that's not because they could potentially be listening right now. That is actually true. And I can't say the same thing about every other station I've worked at. But I've met with people who will say, you know, I really can't believe this opening popped up and they didn't even think about me. You know, they like me. They say they like me, but they didn't even think to offer me that promotion, or they didn't even think to put me in that role. And I always say, you think you're top of mind? And I don't say I don't say it to be a jerk, but I myself, I know I do a good job on this show, but I don't think I'm top of mind. Why would I be top of mind? I'm not saying because I'm not significant, but because they have their own goals. That's why they're managers. That's why they're good leaders. They have their own stuff that they're focused on, not to mention they're overseeing dozens of employees. So it's your job to advocate for yourself. It's your job to tell them, hey, this is something I'm really interested in. If it opens up now, in a year, this is what I would love to do. How can I work towards that? Or how can I be considered for that? It's so important to do that. And it doesn't matter how great of an employee you are, or how much your leadership recognizes your accolades, it still doesn't mean you're top of mind. So I agree with you.
So let's get this. Yeah, let's get. So what I want you to do is text career happy. One word, career happy. Doesn't matter if it's caps, to this number. If you're driving, you can
either
tell
Alexa.
I'm going to
write it down right now. Yes.
Okay. 888-241-2385.
Okay. And is it one word, career happy, or two?
Yes, one. 888-241-2385. If you're driving, tell Alexa or Siri, or voice to text, voice to memo, voice memo, or you can send us a note on our website. Just use the Let's Talk page. You don't need to worry about filling all the other stuff out. Just say, I need that info again. Or on LinkedIn, you can send me a message.
I'm also adding it to your podcast. I just added it here. So
yeah. You'll get just a full explanation of all five and what to do instead. It's a great reference tool, because you won't remember everything we talk about on the show. But if you have something like this at your fingertips, it will allow you to go back and check, am I doing these things?
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't, what can you start to do to start inching toward them? Look, I'm happy to talk about any of them in the future, but I'm starting to love the idea. Because people that I've worked with tell me, I keep this by my side, and I check it every once in a while.
I think it's a great idea.
Our listeners, our Connecticut audience, Melissa, to be career happy.
Yeah, that is the goal. That's what we're working on.
That is
and
the goal.
Julie Valky, right at the forefront of making that happen. We so appreciate you, and I have added that number and that word to your podcast, which will be posted at 10 o'clock this morning. So thank you. I always appreciate you.
Thank you. Talk next week.
All right. I look forward to it. Julie Balke, of course, of Julie on the Job, our career strategist on the morning show on WICC.